fighting for America.
There is nobody in this country who got rich on his own. You built a factory out there, good for you. You moved your goods on the roads the rest of us paid for.
Fighting for Idaho.
To make me stay for 21 days, to not be with my family, to put me through this emotional and physical stress is completely unacceptable.
Fighting for you.
Kevin, you know that the opinion of Congress is down around 10 or 12%.
Right.
If you only got 10% of the market with your radio station, they'd be looking for another disc jockey here. I know.
Don't give them any ideas.
Okay,
sir.
Well, you've got more than 10. I think you're up to about 18 or 19.
Thanks.
Boise's Mr. Right, Kevin Miller in the Morning, winner of the 2014 Marconi Radio Award on 580 KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
580 KIDO, Kevin Miller in the Morning, joined in studio by A.J. Belukoff. Phone number is 580-5436, 580-KIDO. Mr. Belukoff, good to see you once again.
Good morning. It's good to be here.
You know, yesterday we were at the Tea Party Bob television show, and I don't know if much has changed since then, but good to have you with us.
I'm glad to be here. Thanks for the invitation.
So let's talk a little bit about the race. This is your first run for elected office.
It is, other than the school board, which is a nonpartisan volunteer position, unpaid.
Right. So perception versus reality, how's it been for you?
Well, I've really enjoyed the campaign. It's been a good experience to travel our state and see all the different parts of our state and to visit a lot of really nice and interesting people. And that's been very gratifying to be able to do that, to talk about the issues that are important to the people of Idaho. The thing that surprised me and is kind of disconcerting is the negative advertising that comes out. Not the fact that people oppose me as a governor, but the fact that they have to lie to oppose me.
Well, let's get into that. How have they lied about you, sir?
Well,
first of all, you're a typical politician, more comfortable in California than Idaho, I guess.
Yeah, that's one of them. Yeah. I'm presented as a liberal tax-raising career politician, anxious to support and promote Obama's agendas here in Idaho. There was a piece in the mail yesterday that labeled me and Janet Jones and Holly Woodings as Obama liberals. And, you have to ask yourself why the other side is doing that. And the conclusion I've got to come to is that when you stack Governor Otter up against the truth, he doesn't come out looking very well. So they have to invent his opponent. And they've made a fictitious opponent, and they've given that fictitious opponent my name.
How do you convince folks that have voted for Governor Otter the past couple times that you aren't, as you've been labeled, falsely labeled?
Well, it's a matter of getting around, talking to people, and I've been doing that. We've got functions, meet and greet kind of functions every night. And I meet lots of people, and I encourage them that once they've had a chance to meet me in person, ask me questions, and talk about me, to talk to me, to then go talk to their family, their friends, their neighbors, and give their impressions and contrast what they've seen with what they hear on the radio and on TV.
What convinced you to run? Much has been written about how much you've personally spent, but not only when we're talking monetarily, but personally, as we said, you had a life. Hopefully you'll have a life again. You live in the real world where you have concrete objectives, concrete results, and then you get into the comic book world of politics.
It's been a fun experience. The reason I got into this is all centered around education. Having been on the Boise School Board for 17 years, I've been down to the legislature. I've watched what our state has done to public schools, how they've underfunded them. And that's really apparent in the smaller rural school districts where superintendents have a very difficult time filling teaching vacancies, and they end up filling them with people on provisional certifications instead of being a certified teacher. And I look where many districts have cut essential programs, physical education, arts, music, make families pay to have their child participate in extracurricular or athletic activities. We have 40 school districts that have cut back to a four-day school week. And I felt like somebody's got to do something to get a new direction for the public education in our state. And one of the reasons is not only to help the current generation grow and be prepared to succeed after high school, but it's the quality of our schools is directly tied to the quality of our economy and the quality of jobs we have.
Let's talk a little bit about, if elected, we talk about the need to fund education, but and you believe that people on both sides of the aisle will work with you, but let's face it, if you take down Governor Otter, who has been around since 1972, you're going to have a lot of hurt feelings, and you have people saying that AJ isn't going to get anything done. You can't, you know, just say, hey, here's the budget. It has to be approved by both houses.
Oh, it does. Ultimately, the budget is approved by the legislature, and the governor can propose a budget, but very seldom does it end up that they actually approve what the governor proposes. There's some wheeling and dealing and wrangling over different programs, and ultimately the legislature approves the budget. I believe I can work with legislators. I've been down there for 17 years talking about education bills. I know a lot of the legislators. I know several of them outside of government activities through business or other kinds of activities. And as I've been on the campaign trail traveling around the state, I've made it a point to call on the legislators I don't know and talk about, well, if I win the election, then we're going to have to work together. And they've acknowledged that. And every one of them have acknowledged their willingness to work with me, and we'll work together. I think part of the strength I bring is that I don't have a partisan agenda to push. That
You're a Democrat, though.
Well, that's true. You have to affiliate with a party to run for an office like governor. Independents have even less of a chance of being successful than a Democrat does in Idaho. So you affiliate with a party. But when you get into once the election is over, the politicking should stop. And people expect us to work together to solve problems, to help people have good lives here in Idaho.
A final question, and then we're going to open it up to the audience here at 580KIDO. It comes from Alan L. Morton, attorney at law, who has opened my eyes to the textbook plight. I'm sure not unique to Boise schools, but you have systems around the state where it's four-day work weeks for educators. You have textbooks being signed out like we used to check out library books. And when we get this time around, when we're going to the schools once a week, we have people saying, yeah, that's how we teach these days. Okay, there's the need. How do you restore that funding without the dreaded raising the taxes to get textbooks for every kid?
Well, first of all, the governor does not have the authority to raise taxes. That happens in the House of Representatives. And it appears to me that the House of Representatives is not ready to raise taxes anytime soon. In fact, during Governor Otter's first term in office, he tried to raise the gas tax. He promoted that, wanted to raise the gas tax, and the legislature wouldn't let him. So I've got to assume that there will be no tax increase. So we've got to get the funding that from current sources. Our state takes in nearly $3 billion. There's plenty of money there if we set the right priorities. And I would use as an example the governor's proposed budget this year, where he wanted to put $70 million into a rainy day fund. He wanted to put $30 million aside for more tax relief. That's $100 million we could have put towards education this year. And if we had done that, that would have restored funding to 2009 levels. We're still $100 million short of the funding in 2009. And that's before you take into consideration inflation and the fact that we have 22,000 more students today than we did in 2009.
Let's go to the phones. And, yes, so you can talk about Meridian and challenging the growth there and throughout the state. Let's go to Lucas in Star at 580KIDO with A.J. Belukoff. Hello, Lucas.
The local news has been covering kind of the biggest story in the past, I'd say, 3 months is the whole same-sex marriage. I'd just be curious to see what A.J.'s take on that is.
Sure, I'd be glad to talk about that. My personal belief is that marriage is between a man and a woman, but I also believe that I do not have the right to compel other people to conform to my beliefs. and that I need to treat all people with respect and dignity and equality, even the people that believe and behave differently than I do. Given that background, I also believe that our United States Constitution requires that we treat all people equally under the law. And that's what the judges have found in the cases in Idaho that have brought a suit regarding Idaho's constitutional ban on same-sex marriage. The judges have found that Idaho's constitutional ban on same-sex marriage violates the United States Constitution, which is supreme over the Idaho Constitution. So I would not have continued to fight that battle in Idaho.
Is the governor mistaken to continue the fight?
I think he is. I think he's wasting taxpayer money to do that.
We go to Jim in Middleton at 580 KIDO. Good morning, Jim.
Good morning, Kevin. Thanks for coming on there, Mr. Blukoff.
Thank you.
You mentioned that the amount of money that Idaho is spending on education reflects its economy. How would you explain inner cities that spend far more and the economy is far worse, and not only far worse, but in debt greatly? Can you explain that, please?
Well, I don't know that I can explain another city. I take a look at what we have here in Idaho, and there's no question that we are at the bottom in our educational system, in the amount we invest, but also in the results we get. We are very low in the percentage that our high school graduates go on to college. When they take the SAT test, we're very low. Last time I checked, only five of the 70 largest high schools had more than half of their graduates prepared to succeed in college. So our educational system is very low. At the same time, we're very low economically. We're number two in percentage of minimum wage jobs. We are 50th in the nation in median income for women. We're 48th in median income for men. So there's a direct relationship. I talk to business owners, and especially in the high-tech industry, they tell me they can't find Idaho graduates that are prepared to do the things that these high-tech companies want them to do. So there's a direct relationship between the quality of education and the people that are prepared to be employees and to succeed in business.
Jim, we got to run, but thank you, sir.
You bet. Thank you, both of you.
Okay, thank you.
All right, we go to Sam. You see, this is great when you're here. I can just sit there and press buttons. We go to Sam and Meridian at 580 KIDO for A.J. Belukoff. Hello, Sam.
Hey, good morning. A couple of questions. Number one, how do you plan to grow the economy, Mr. Belukoff? And then number two, how are you not an Obama liberal? I would just appreciate it if you addressed both of those head on. Thank you.
Sure.
All right, Sam, thank you for the call.
Be happy to address both of those. First of all, the way we grow the economy is improve our education so that we have graduates that are prepared to be successful in college and in work. And then we focus on the Idaho companies that are already here in Idaho that we need to help create the environment where they can grow and thrive.
Now, quickly, because we got to take a break. Why are you not an Obama liberal?
I'm not an Obama liberal. I voted for Mitt Romney in 2012 for a lot of different reasons that we probably don't have time to go into right now. But there's not enough evidence to convict me of being a liberal. I'm a centrist. I'm pragmatic, common sense. I believe in personal responsibility, that people should be working hard to support themselves and their families. But I also believe that when people find themselves in difficult situations or unemployed, that we should help our neighbors. And I believe that's one of the Idaho values, is that we help our neighbors. We see that all the time when we really don't think of it as charity. But, you know, the farmers help one another harvest crops, especially if one of their neighbors gets hurt. They all pitch in and help their neighbors harvest the crops. And
we need to harvest some
okay.
spots here.
Okay.
More coming up with A.J. Belukoff.
Your trust every morning. Kevin Miller, 580 KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
A.J. Belukoff with us once again. Let's go back to the phones. And we go to Liberal Steve at 580 KIDO. Good morning, Liberal Steve.
Good morning, gentlemen.
Good morning.
Mr. Blukoff, as governor of Idaho, will you appear to the people or come on TV at least once a month, you know, get one of the channels to...
Wait a minute. Come on TV once a month.
This is a question. This is a question.
Wait a minute. You know...
Otter shows up every time there's an election. That's the only time the people see Otter. I'm asking him, will he talk to the people and be in continuous contact with the people?
You know, I think it's very important that the government be transparent and that people know what's going on and know what their governor and legislature is doing. And, yes, I would hold regular, maybe even weekly, press conferences or times for when people could ask questions and ask what's going on, why are you doing this, why are you doing that. I think it's very important to keep people informed.
We go to Greg Pruitt from the Idaho Second Amendment Alliance for A.J. Blukoff at 580-KIDO.
Morning, Kevin. Good morning, A.J. Thanks for taking my call.
Good morning.
One quick question. Idaho citizens and many gun owners here in Idaho are trying to fight for what other states are already doing, and that's for constitutional carry. And essentially, if you don't know what that is, essentially, if you can purchase and own a firearm legally, you have a constitutional right to carry that firearm concealed without having to get a permit. Do you or do you not support constitutional carry?
Well, I do support the Constitution that people have a right to carry and bear arms. But on the other hand, I want to make sure people are competent if they're carrying concealed. And I think it's a good idea to have people prove that they're competent with the use of a firearm and have the permit to carry it. But I'm very much in support of the Second Amendment. I own firearms. I hunt. I fish. I like to shoot targets. In fact, I would encourage the listeners to go to YouTube. The AFL-CIO was concerned about my stance on Second Amendment rights, so they videotaped me out at Black Dog Clay's talking about Second Amendment, and then we shot some clays. And I'd encourage people to go look for that on YouTube, and you can see me breaking some clay targets.
You know, if there's one thing I've learned, it's easy to support guns, support hunting, but a true understanding of the Second Amendment is always not the same case with people who do those things.
Well, I do understand that, and that's why people want to carry, why some people need to carry. But again, I support the competent use of firearms.
All right, Greg, thank you for the call. I've got a couple more here, and I know you've got a bolt and we've got a bolt. We're going to just expand the segment a little bit more, a couple more calls. But Rome has Facebooked me and said, could you expand a little bit more briefly about, you know, finding those skilled people? We talked about education, but, you know, skilled people finding jobs here in Idaho. Because, you know, you don't want the brain drain that's happening. People that get those degrees, they can't find good-paying jobs here in Idaho. What could you do to make that happen?
Well, again, I hate to sound like a broken record, but it starts with education, making sure that people are prepared to work the kind of jobs that we have here in Idaho, that the Hewlett-Packards, the Microns, and the many, many tech companies that we have in the Treasure Valley, for example, are looking for employees with certain skills. I had a meeting with about 3 weeks ago with a whole group. I mean, there was like 40 people that are in the tech industry, and their universal complaint at that meeting was their absolute difficulty in finding local graduates qualified to do the kind of work that they need done in their companies, whether it's writing code or doing security with computers. And so they go out of the area.
Right.
When I asked the executive yesterday at Hewlett-Packard, I said, how many of your employees come from Idaho? And he thought that about 20% of them did. And then he said, if I expand that circle to include Washington State, Utah State, University of Utah, BYU, probably 70%. Of them come there. So I would say we ought to take a look at what are those other universities doing that we ought to be doing.
Let's quickly go to Shelley and Star at 580-KIDO. Hello, Shelley.
Hi. I just have a quick question. Back to the school.
Finally, a quick question, yes.
I was wondering, since you said there's audits of the school's budget, and assuming you read those audits, what would you cut out of the budget before coming to the taxpayers for more money? And what expenses have you seen that have just been over the top outrageous that you've seen?
All right. Shelley, thank you for the call.
Okay, thank you. First of all, just a reminder, the governor cannot raise taxes. That has to come from the House of Representatives.
I hear you're going
to raise taxes. Well, I can't, even if I wanted to. But my experience has been in looking at those audits is there is not a lot of fat in the school districts. They have been cut so drastically that I don't see waste in school districts. In fact, they've cut essential programs. They've cut essential employees. And things are very, very lean. In fact, too lean. And what really needs to happen is at the state level to change priorities and make education the priority our Constitution says it should be. It should be a higher priority than putting money in a rainy day fund during a rainstorm.
Final call for A.J. Belukov. Here is Jennifer. Hello, Jennifer.
Good morning, Kevin. Good morning, Mr. Belukov.
Good morning.
Having once worked for the wonderful youth treatment program Project Patch, my big concern is young people. I believe there needs to be a generational change for the longevity and sustainability of a healthy economy in our nation, not let alone our state. One of the things that concerns me is our extremely high, you know, poverty rates. The youth suicide rate at last checked was seventh in the nation. Not access treatment for mental health issues. And there just seems to be a culture of that superstition of, you know, bettering oneself. So do you have any kind of an agenda for focusing on youth, empowering youth?
Yes, and you've already heard about the agenda for education, which I think is very important. But the other thing we need to do is have a more robust mental health treatment system in the state and behavioral health, in other words, substance abuse help. We need early intervention for youth so they don't get in trouble and end up in our prisons. It seems like our main mental health and substance abuse program these days is to put people in prison. And if we had some early intervention programs and get young people the treatment they need, we could prevent a lot of crimes and prevent a lot of people from going to prison. And you mentioned that we have one of the highest suicide rates in the nation, and that's a reflection of the very anemic mental health system we have in the state.
A big issue. Jennifer, thank you for the call. Mr. Belukov, thank you.
Kevin, thank you for inviting me to be here this morning. It's always a pleasure to come and talk, and I very much enjoy visiting with the people of Idaho.
Well, you know, regardless, we'd love to have you back. We'd love to have you as one of our contributors. You could be there with all the friends that you've met today.
Sure. Do I need to have a special handle or something?
Maybe that would be governor.
Great.
You're listening to 580 KIDO.
Chance to win cash is coming. Keep listening to find out more on 580 KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
Men, 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 manly men, 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 manly men, men, men.
Good morning, 580 KIDO, Kevin Miller in the morning, live from Capitol High School. Good morning, Dave.
Good morning, Kevin.
So, any surprise that the Giants won last night?
No. No, not really. They, you know, I guess they did it on the Kansas City's home field, so that would be the surprise. But nope, no big surprise.
Right. You did. You know, I thought Kansas City had their number when they tied it up, and it's the first and only baseball game that I've watched all season, and I watched quite a bit of it.
Well, at least you got some baseball in this year.
Now, exactly. Now, for those folks that aren't familiar with you here at 580KIDO that haven't listened to the Manly Man segment, are you a big baseball fan?
You know, it's a funny thing. I can be. I have to get in at the start of the season, start following a team, and then, you know, I get interested. If I'm busy and I don't get a lot of it in, I'm kind of a casual baseball fan.
All right. Well, the reason why I ask is American League, National League.
Mm-hmm.
American League or National League?
Oh, I'm more of a National League guy.
Okay. And National League Coast, you have a particular team, West Coast, East Coast kind of thing?
No, you know, I don't, you know, American League, I always follow the California Angels, kind of that direction. And when it comes to the National League, I kind of follow the Cubs. I'm a glutton for punishment.
The Cubs?
Yep.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
I see. Yeah. See, I've always been an American League guy, with the exception of when the Braves had that improbable run. I just started getting addicted to them because they would always get to the World Series and lose. And then they'd beat the team that I kind of grew up on, the Cleveland Indians, when a year after the shutout.
Wow.
Which I think that year that, you know, remember the World Series was locked out, mm-hmm. where they actually had, how should I put this, you know, the best team in baseball that didn't happen, you know.
Yeah. So, yeah, so, it's kind of odd. I mean, you know, who would pick you to be a Cleveland fan in any sport?
Well, you know, it's kind of like, you know, the Red Sox a little too, I suppose, and that's, but you know, I do a disservice to baseball fans. I don't like the game, blah, blah, blah.
Love
but
the
I kind of.
I love the intricacies of the game.
Yeah, you see, for me, it's just so boring. And, of course, baseball's having a problem. Well, the reason why I mentioned this last night, so that we had a divided house in the Miller household last night.
Really?
Yeah, my wife, she was going for the Giants, and I was going for the Royals because they're in the American League.
So you wound up sleeping on the couch last night.
Well, that was kind of funny because she was doing some work, and I'm sitting there yelling. She goes, "What are you yelling about?" I go, the game, the Royals. And she goes, "You're going to give yourself a heart attack." I go, "Hey, this is what it's about. It all comes down to this."
Because you're a diehard fan.
At least tonight I am.
Yeah.
And it was just funny. I go, "The Giants, that Bumhauer or Broomhauer or whatever his name is, boo, boo." I go, get him.
Wow.
No, I really did that, and it freaked her out. It was funny.
I can see why. It's kind of bothering me a little bit.
Why? You got to have passion. I'm going, okay, what was that guy's name that won? Broomhauer, whatever his name
is?
Yeah,
that's his name.
Bumgarner, yes. Okay, and I go, ha-ha, Bumgarner, we've got you now. You're done. Ha-ha. You went to the well once too often, Bumgarner. Ha-ha. And then it was over. Like a lot of things in my life.
A little frightening.
A lot of promise, a lot of disappointment.
There you go. Baseball's done for the year.
Yeah, and a lot of people are wondering about the future of baseball based on the millennial ADD generation. A lot of Americans' kids not into it. A lot of folks going into basketball, football, hockey. I have to say, and I can't believe I'm going to admit this to you, that I'm really getting ready for the NBA. For some reason, I'm excited about the NBA.
Wow, well, it started this week already.
Yeah, I don't know why, and I'm kind of maybe Mark Cuban brainwashed me a couple years ago when he said that the NBA is going to be the next big thing, and the NFL is just like, yeah.
Well, you know, it's cyclical. I mean, I believe baseball will be back at one time. The NBA, when Michael Jordan was in his heyday, it was everything.
Right.
I mean, it took precedence over pro football, and then pro football came around. It was a big deal. NASCAR, it was a huge deal for a while. Now it's kind of faded to the, you know, everything. It gets cyclical.
Yeah, you know, the funny thing that kind of gets me here at 580 KIDO is that Jordan was so great, and the football back in the day was so physical. Have we made scoring too easy
in football?
Yes.
Yeah. I think so. And then we've just taken, and mind you, you don't want to see anyone get hurt, but we're so protective of everything now that everything's a judgment call. And you know, don't hit them too hard. Come on.
Don't hit them too hard.
Yeah, don't hit them too hard. It's that whole everybody deserves a medal mentality out of Little League Baseball. I mean, don't hit them. Everybody needs a fair chance. Don't hit them too hard.
Well, I love the old quarterbacks, okay? Is it really fair to Elway, Montana, and to me, the most underrated quarterback of all time, Terry Bradshaw, that simply just won. And I know he had the best defense ever, and he had the great running game, and he had the receivers, and da-da-da-da-da. But Terry Hanratty didn't do it. It was Terry Bradshaw.
Yeah, see, I'd put Bradshaw number two or three.
And, you know, I was talking to one of these slappies one day from the four-letter network, Sal, whatever his name is. Well, did you see his touchdown-interception ratio? They could tackle people, and it wasn't pass interference then.
Yeah.
But today, Look at how great, and I was not a Marino guy. I was an Elway guy.
Yeah. See, I was not a Marino guy either, but looking back, he was probably the best quarterback ever, considering he had nothing to work with.
That's what I'm saying, though. Could you imagine Elway or Marino?
Oh.
And the hits that they took, which were still a little bit more tempered than, let's say,
Bradshaw when Ed Turkey Jones almost decapitated him.
Mm-hmm.
Could you imagine those guys today?
They'd tear it up.
And one thing I have to say about Peyton Manning is he still came up in that era where the quarterbacks took a beating.
Yep.
You look at Troy Aikman and all those concussions.
Mm-hmm.
And the beatings that he took. And today, I mean, I think it's going to get to the place in the NFL where, you know, after they throw the ball, you can't touch them. It's, and I know they get a step, but I mean, it's going to be like the punter.
Yeah. See, it's getting tougher to watch. For me, it's getting harder to watch because referees are a bigger part of the game.
Right.
So. Yeah.
And which officials? Well, look at that. Look what happened to Notre Dame. I mean, what was it, a USC game or something? They had the same play and nobody called it?
Mm-hmm.
USC against Utah or something like that?
Yeah.
Anyway, enough about sports. What do you have for us today, Dave Burnett?
What do I have for you today?
I can go on and on, but you go, Kevin, you always talk. You never let me talk. And then when I do, you criticize what I have to say. So I'm going to zip it.
Wow, in a roundabout sort of way, you've already criticized me. That was weird.
I criticized you and me together.
That was weird how that happened.
It wasn't my intent.
Uh-oh.
My intent was to criticize me.
Hmm. Well, let's see. We have the, I heard an interesting story overnight, actually, on a LA radio station I was listening to on my way into work this morning. And they were talking about how, are we all being distracted by Ebola? You know, you come back to this again, and I always go back to the magician. The way magicians get away with what they do is that they make you look at their left hand when their right hand is doing something else, or vice versa. And now that all the attention's put on Ebola, it makes me frightened for what our governments might be up to and what they might be doing while we're busy looking at Ebola. Run for your life. That always bothers me a little bit.
Well, I know something a little bit about you and your magical past.
Well...
I know you don't want to admit it here at 580 KIDO, but weren't you involved in the Chris Angel Mind Freak show at the Luxor many years ago?
No. No, that wasn't me. That was our general manager, Kevin Godlin.
I see. Mm-hmm. Now, did you ever watch the show The Secrets of the Magician with that goofy guy in the mask?
I did. I did watch that. I didn't care for it.
Wasn't that creepy? The creepy guy in the mask?
Yeah.
I thought he was going to get me. I thought he was the shadow people that George Norrie talks about.
Yeah, I did not care for that much.
Yeah, but, the distractions. But how do you like this nurse in Maine? I'm going to leave my house and they can come get me.
What is that? I'm divided on that. I think there is personal liberties that the government should put on us. But I also think that there is personal responsibility that, especially if you're in the healthcare industry, you understand the danger. I mean, what happens if now she comes down sick and, who all has she been around? I mean, there's a degree of personal responsibility we need to take that I've been in an area dealing with something that's bad. I should have some self-discipline and my personal responsibility. The other side is I'm not real wild about the government saying, no, you there because you're fatty, you have to be locked up here. Or you there because you're short or you're too tall or you're too this or that. I don't like that aspect of the government telling you what you can and cannot do, where you can and cannot be. But I also feel there's a certain amount of personal responsibility we need to take. How's that for on the fence?
Wow. You should run for office.
I know. And speaking of running for office, because just listening to your interview you just had with Belukov, I had an interesting conversation with somebody yesterday. I think there's a
somebody fatigue. In the building.
No, this was out of the building.
Oh, a smart person.
But I think there is an incumbent fatigue, and people are looking at options. I got to talking about the fact, well, the state has brought in Amy's Kitchen into Pocatello, where there's going to be hundreds, if not thousands, of jobs created. Out of the old Heinz Corporation, and they said, what does that have to do with us? And well, my goodness, it's the state of Idaho. It has a lot to do with us. But they said, what does that have to do with me? My paycheck still isn't, so there's a lot of people that are still frustrated by the size of their paycheck and saying, what does that have to do with us?
I'm with you, but it's kind of frustrating, I think, for folks here. And I saw the governor's announcement on that on Facebook yesterday, mm-hmm. but because I've got something else for you quickly, but let me hit you with this. To me, it's frustrating that this area isn't churning more things like that, like Chobani. They call it the Magic Valley Miracle. Hey, great for the Magic Valley. We care about this place. You've got Pocatello now with the Amy's place.
But see, when it comes to state government, Kevin, the state is bigger than just right here. It's not all about this. I mean, you know, KIDO is not just the morning show. It's bigger than that. The state is not just Boise. It's bigger than that.
Yeah.
And that's what this but person, how, they were all like, what does that do for me?
How Ada, I think I know who you're talking about, how Ada goes, or no, it isn't because they're not in the building. How Ada goes, so goes the rest of the state, I would say.
Yeah, but you can't let the rest of the state wither away. But that's where I think
wither. And then when I move to Idaho Falls or Pocatello, then it'll be all about that place. That's how I look at it. But quickly, lava hot springs. 580KIDO.com. Who's going to win tonight's gubernatorial debate? Dave Burnett, what say you?
I'll wait and see. I'm not
going to predict. Panky is going to join us on Monday. How about that?
There you go. That'll be worth the price of admission.
Panky, Belukoff, Bujak, and the governor. Governor will be on tomorrow morning at 8.
We got to do this. Kevin is at Capitol High School celebrating a 50th anniversary.
Yes, we are.
As you continue there, let's do this. As you're coming out of Canyon.